What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Now we've got Casey Adler, who is a writer, a writer, actor, and activist, and one of the organizers for an event kicking off on Saturday called Labor for Palestine Action. We are also joined by John Parker, coordinator of the Harriet Tubman Center for Social Justice in Los Angeles and a leading member of the Socialist Unity Party. In November 2023, he was detained by Egyptian authorities for over 30 hours during the Global Conscious Convoy, a solidarity mission aiming to deliver humanitarian aid in Gaza, highlighting his commitment to international justice and Palestinian rights. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for joining. Do we know if Lulu's coming?
I am. I'm in contact with all the people right now. Okay. To see if she can jump on as well.
Okay. I had some questions for her. I wanted, as the Palestinian of the three of you, I wanted her to respond to some of the headlines coming out of Palestine. But John Parker, I will actually start with you. Let me scroll down my script. John, can you talk about why Black liberation is tied to Palestinian liberation and the importance of cross solidarity in this political moment?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting that the ties between what's going on with Black and brown folks here, it's been around for a while. Well, there's a lot of support for the Palestinian movement and vice versa. And we see when the ICE and the fascist attacks that are going on right now against immigrants and migrant communities here, and a lot of times in the nation, sometimes there's also just as much or sometimes more of African peoples and Black peoples that are being targeted as well. But there's so much need for solidarity, bringing these things together. But it's really white supremacy attacking, using white supremacy to attack the working class in this country and divide the working class. You know, they have these, big push to for a war against Venezuela. There's been bombing by the U.S. and against Israel, part of the U.S. and Israel war against Palestine and all these things. And what that means is there's no money for housing, healthcare, education, all the things we need. And so they have to have scapegoats. And that's what they're using to try to do that. But for the past 40 or so years, our wages are increasingly been going down and not keeping up with inflation. And the best way to fight against that is by having a union. So scapegoating immigrants and Blacks and Black brown people is a means to stop and continually deny our class the right to be in unions. And that's the link between struggle against ICE and the struggle for union representation. That's the link between the wars against the Global South and Palestine, the fascist attacks against that are going on today, especially in the Home Depots and other places where day laborers congregate. They all deserve a union. And a Chris Smalls to initiate that struggle is so important right now.
Chris Smalls will be at the rally that kicks off this week of action on Saturday. This is in Los Angeles, Labor for Palestine kicking off on Saturday with the details of the rally in the week of teachings in just a moment. Casey, I was particularly excited to talk to you. I'm an actress. I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild. And so I, you know, from that perspective, I really wanted to ask you, and I know we can get in trouble for saying some things, but that's what this show is about. Your reflections on the ways in which Hollywood is complicit in its silence about the genocide and the punishment of artists that dare to speak out.
I think it's representative of America as a whole. I mean, it's people are scared to talk. People are scared to put out these stories. And I know friends who are scared to attend these rallies even after 2 years. I mean, you don't even have to talk about Hollywood in a way, because we have activists, we have community organizers, we have labor, we have artists involved. The one thing that's missing from our speaker list is a politician. So when you don't even have a singular politician speaking at a rally calling for an arms embargo, which includes nearly every organization in the world calling it a genocide, how can you expect a random studio executive to call it out? How can you expect an actor to call it out? I tried to just get a city council member to speak at this rally. I couldn't even get one. So I think that's even more of an indictment than some writer or a storyteller. in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm talking about individual writers and actors. I am talking about studio execs. I am talking about creative artist agency. I am. And I do think that we can demand and should demand that they speak out, at the very minimum, not blackball artists for doing so. Yeah. I mean, artists have always, there is no revolution without art and artists. It's not.
Definitely.
All right. Time is a little bit short because my state tire roundup ran over. John, you tugged on this thread just a little bit, but you talked about the importance of unions. Can you talk about the importance of labor in the fight for free Palestine? What is the message on Saturday?
Yeah, it's it's the labor. We know that labor contributes so much, and we wouldn't have wealth, we wouldn't have the what we have today, we wouldn't have products, we wouldn't have anything. We don't need Elon Musk or some of these folks, because they don't produce anything. It's labor that produces the wealth. And in 2006, at the demonstration over here, where they had this horrible sense inventor bill in 2006, and it was defeated not by a lobbyist or anything like that. It was defeated by people denying their labor. They lost, corporations lost billions of dollars during 2006 at that horrible racist Sensenbrenner bill. And it just took that one day of coming out, a million people coming out on May 1st during the week. And all of a sudden that bill just disappeared, just showing the power that we have. And if we're able to have a general strike, if we're able to shut down the ports, especially in L.A., which is so dependent on these ports here for the whole country, there's a lot of things that could happen. And it would really hit them in the pockets, because we know they don't have a conscience. But we know if we hit them in the pockets, we can do that. And right now, we're also part of the Community Self-Defense Coalition, the Harriet Tubman Citizen, and we want to push these kinds of things, of pushing and especially seeing the importance of labor and the solidarity with the Palestinian movement, with the against ICE. And people are coming out. A lot of organizations are coming out together. And so there's a lot of opportunity here. And we're even seeing some of the, once in a while you see some of the actors and folks coming out during the Iraq war. We saw a lot of actors and things coming out and things like that would help and stuff like that. Some people have courage and they put humanity above their careers. Not the mayors and the other folks out here in L.A. They don't seem to put their careers are the first thing that they care about. And so, but history is going to, history is not going to look too good on these folks.
Yeah, I've been repeatedly disappointed by Mayor Karen Bass, who was my mentor. I started my organizing career at Community Coalition. I used to say, no Karen Bass, no Kat Brooks. I mean, she cut her teeth on anti-apartheid organizing, you know, when she was a nurse. And she really did teach me everything that I knew before, a 30-year career. So I just sit confused about what happened. I have this theory that when you get elected to office, they start delivering a special water to your door, and there's something in that water that like gets in your brain Correct. And makes you like toe the line. Yeah, I do want to shout out ILWU for shutting down ports here in Oakland, both for Oscar Grant and also for Palestine. Yeah. 2 years ago, we shut down the ports and stopped the ships from coming in. Lulu is on the phone. I want to welcome her into the conversation. Good morning, Lulu.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm glad you can join us, even though we're going to have to end the conversation soon. But for the audiences, Lulu Hammond is a Palestinian-American lawyer, human rights activist, and community organizer. She's a co-founder of Yalla Indivisible, a grassroots organization that centers Palestinian voices and promotes civic engagement and empowerment of BIPOC communities. She's also the co-founder of SoCal Uprising, a grassroots intersectional coalition fighting against oppression and fascism. Lulu, I want you to talk about labor involved in the fight for free Palestine. It's important, and why Saturday and the week of action that follows is critical at this particular political juncture. And I'll just say that this morning, Al Jazeera headlines, two of them are, entire families are being wiped out as Israel intensifies the bombardment of residential areas in Gaza City and makeshift encampments across the strip, with at least 54 murdered. This is daily. Yes, an average of 50 to 75, sometimes upwards of 100 plus people murdered by noon every single day. And Doctors Without Borders says Palestinians in the occupied West Bank face a campaign of forced mass displacement by Israeli soldiers and settlers that significantly increases the risk of ethnic cleansing. It's my thought that the West Bank is the next Gaza Strip. So in that context, with over 63,000 people, and we know that's an undercount, murdered, talk about Saturday, why it's critical right now.
Well, Saturday is critical because, very briefly, the main two forces that will change things in the U.S. are the student movement and labor unions. We've seen that historically, and we've also seen beyond a shadow of a doubt the complicity and partnership, outright partnership of our government in the genocide. And we know that this government, this administration, is not responsive to our demands of an arms embargo. These weapons are being shipped. These bombs are being shipped. If we're turning into people power, then our people power lies within the labor movement, because they're the ones who are shipping this. They're the ones who are delivering this. And their leadership at this time, as it has been historically, is going to be crucial. Without them, it's going to be very hard for people to materialize the demand to stop providing the weapons, the very weapons that have wiped the two families today. And also, without the power of the unions and labor, it's going to be very hard for us to fight this government that is spying on us, as you all know, with the Paragon spyware that ISIS just contracted from the Israeli company. So all these things it will all come down to people power. We have to change things ourselves. Our government is not changing it. Our politicians are timid at best. So who's going to do it? The people who are actually doing the job. And that's labor.
Thank you, Lou. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the call of action in the face of fascism right now, is that we become ungovernable, that we stop. Yeah. We just stop participating in the madness, and labor unions can certainly direct their workers to do so. Okay, I don't know which one of three of you want to do it, but I need a rundown of what's happening on Saturday and the week after, and a place where people can go to learn more, and then I've got to bid you adieu.
Sure, I'm happy to jump in there. Saturday, we have an incredible lineup of speakers. We have everyone from Chris Smalls, Ron Goches of UTLA Union Del Barrio, Lily Greenberg-Call, which is the first Biden official to resign, Dr. Malina Abdullah, Cornell West former running mate. We got John Parker, obviously, on board right here. Fatin Jude, a co-founder of Unmute Humanity, Lulu Ahmad, Nina Menkes, trailblazing filmmaker and an Academy member. We're actually doing a screening of her film, Massacre, which interviews IDF soldiers who committed the Sabra and Shatila massacre. It's an incredible documentary. That'll be in a week and a half. We have Nora Khoury, a Lebanese journalist, Ben Camacho, investigative journalist, and then we have Emily Debeney, a Palestinian actor performing a monologue from Palestinian playwright Edmund Shaheda, and Reverend Joel Yoshinos, co-founder of LA Chapter of Christians for a Liberated Palestine. Afterwards, this is the beginning, hopefully, for a continued series of community actions and community events, including a screening of Nina Menkes's film Massacre. We are doing a teach-in with Ministry of Peace, which is a street medic and street medical and security team. So if you want to learn how to deal with riot police or kettling or whatever it is you're interested in, they'll be doing that teach-in. We have a teach-in with Dr. Zachary Foster and Asal Rad of Palestine Nexus and Arab Center of Washington. They're scholars. If you're looking for like history of Palestine and Israel, or history of Zionism, modern history, ancient history, they are truly incredible international scholars. In a few weeks, we're doing an exploration of Palestinian food at Mideast Eats. It's a Palestinian home restaurant. They're an incredibly lovely people. We're doing a talk back with Palestinian filmmaker Rola Selbeck at the event itself, and all food proceeds are going to the cook who's from Gaza.
All right, Casey, I got to wrap it up. I got another story I got to get to. Where can people go to get all these details?
They can go to solidarityla.org/L4P. And again, Palestinian workers are calling for this. They've been calling for an arms embargo.
All right. I want to thank the three of you for joining me this morning. Shout out to my sister from another Mr., Dr. Malina Abdullah, who speaks very highly of you, John Parker. And talk to you all again soon. Thank you so much for joining.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.